this is Natalie, also known as StarsCast. I'm kind of waiting for our guest to arrive, so I'll make some announcements. You know me, I just kind of fill in the gaps. Mystic Living today is about to go up. Oh, my guest is here, so this is good. So hold on just one moment. Don't go away, everybody. I got to go catch her. Hi, Stacy. This is Natalie. How are you?
I'm well, Natalie. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. We're live on the air. I had plans to kind of chat with you a little bit, but you know, we just go with it. We just go with the flow. I'm not worried. So we are live right now, and I wanted to let everybody know a little bit about who my guest is tonight, and her name is Stacy DeMarco, and she's calling from Australia. Are you in Sydney?
I am. Yes, I am.
But you don't have an accent, do you? I don't hear an accent.
Oh, I definitely have an Australian accent. Once
you'll
hear it.
Okay. Well, anyways, everybody that's listening, I have her on right now. And I was just saying that I was going to try to reach you, then I couldn't get myself on. But anyways, we're here tonight. She's a very special guest that I got from one of my publicists that brings me all kinds of beautiful people, and she's one of them. Stacy, we have a lot to talk about. You have done and are doing an awful lot of stuff. I have with me right now, in front of me, is your Queen of the Moon Oracle. I got that from Sarah, and I have the 2019 Lunar and Seasonal Diary. But first, I want you to tell everybody how you got started into this. I always ask the guests to explain, because how does one, I mean, you're a spiritualist, yes, and explain the difference between what people see as witches. I mean, a lot of people think of the word witch, and they think of somebody with a black cauldron, black garments, black, dark, all of that. Can you explain how you got started into this and what the difference is? I know there's a difference, but I'd like to hear from you.
Great. All right. So, look, I think witches have had a bad PR day for the last 2,000 years. We aren't all that black hats and, you know, all those sort of things. We just have had a bad rap. So witches are a part of an ancient pagan pathway. So they're earth honoring. They're like the indigenous practice of Europe. We are the healers. We were the medicine women. We were the midwives. It's a very, very ancient practice. That's the first. The second thing is when one religion, in this case Christianity, comes over the top of the indigenous practice, often the original religion or the original spiritual practice gets a bad name. It's all sort of part of one religion coming over the top of another. So this idea that we are in league with the devil and we eat babies and, you know, like all sorts of horrible stuff that's in the fairy tales and all of that. Yeah, none of that. None of that, of course, is true. So, you know, we live in a time now where where information about what witchcraft is really, very easily available. But some of that ignorance still hangs around. But the nice thing is, you know, in answer to your question, the nice thing is, you know, it's Halloween, for example, and people kind of want to talk to a witch around Halloween. You know, it's the time that it seems more socially acceptable, or we can ask the questions. And you know, Halloween is just basically one of our festivals, one of our original European festivals. It used to be called Samhain, for example. So how did I get into this? Well, I come from a really normal and, you know, in fact, a corporate background. I went to university, I'm well-educated, you know, all those kinds of things. But I'm very nature-orientated, and I have been nature-orientated since I was a small child. And I really love the idea, even from a small age, of the gods and the goddesses, and in particular, a spiritual practice that spoke to me as a woman that had mentors that were female rather than this sort of one masculine god or something like that. I never really related to that, even though my family were Catholic. So, you know, I kind of always had that in the back of my head. And when I sort of grew older and was finding the corporate world, you know, ultimately financially very, very rewarding, but, you know, you have this big hole in your heart that, you know, is this all there is? I began to look for a pathway that maybe would help me, you know, I feel more whole, or that would, you know, complete, you know, this idea of not just my head but my heart as well. And I found the pagan paths and found, well, I'm kind of doing a lot of this myself anyway. You know, I feel most at home in nature. I feel I was following the lunar cycles anyway. And so the path of the witch kind of opened itself to me, and I was very surprised, like most people, when you begin to go down this pathway, how beautiful it is and peaceful, and there's nothing negative about it. There's nothing black and horrible, you know. So that's sort of how I came to that place.
Well, it's like when I was a little girl, I mean, we all dressed up for Halloween, and so many, I mean, I went as a gypsy. Not a witch, but a gypsy, you know, like my mother would say to me, well, didn't you do that last year? I said, yeah, but I think it's real. You know, we had the tambourine, and we had the long earrings and the necklaces and the bracelets, and I looked kind of very like a gypsy. And I had some friends though that dressed like witches, and I think you're right. It got a bad rap is what the deal is. That's what we say. It's a bad rap. I mean, because people really do not understand. And also, are you similar to the white witch? I know there is a white one. I'm not real familiar with the whole practice of it, but is that the opposite of you, or is that what you are? I know you're a modern one.
Okay.
And you're a spiritual practitioner.
All right, so let me...
what about the...
Let me explain something about putting a color... Let me say something about putting a color descriptive in front of the word witch, okay?
Okay.
So... let's pretend we've got friends that are Jewish or a Buddhist or are Christian. We would never, ever think of saying, oh, right, so you're a white Jew, right? Or you're a white Buddhist,
okay.
Right? Yeah? So really, that's kind of an insulting thing to say, you know, and I know a lot of witches still want to use the word white because they want to have people feel a bit more comfortable or better about them. But the word witch is a very old and honorable word. It means is weaver, the weaver of the two worlds, this one and the next. It means the one that brings people together, the one that heals your bones, the weaving of the bones. So, you know, this is an honorable word. And I guess when I started going down this path and writing books in particular, I had a lot of pressure from, you know, publishers and the media. Oh, can we just put white in front of your word witch, or can we use another word, you know, like priestess, or, you know, like there's all these other words, you know, enchantress, can we, and I was always like, no, you don't get to do that. You know, and part of my charter, my own personal charter, is that I want to bring honor back to that word. I want, so people look and go, oh, that's a witch. All right. Okay. Well, that's okay. You know, so I don't ever use the descriptors, right? So what kind of a witch am I? Okay, so I am what we call an eclectic solitary. Most witches do not belong to covens. Most witches are eclectic solitaries, which mean we practice on our own. We might get together with friends or other witches for festivals and stuff, like Halloween. But most of us pull from different traditions and we practice solo.
Okay, that explains a lot, and I'm sure the listeners appreciate that. I know I do, but you see, that's what I heard all forever, it seemed, and it's silly. Now, when you think about it, it doesn't make any sense with you explaining it. So you've written a lot of books. You have been on radio shows. You've been on television. You're on a hit TV series called The One. You've done so much. I have questions here that have been submitted to me, but I think we'll just chat for a little bit. Now, you practice, and do you do readings in the home? Do you go to festivals and read? I'm just kind of curious what you do exactly in the career that you've...
I'm really lucky, you know. Witches have such a we're all very different, and we all have such a different ways of working. I do festivals every now and again, but my whole thing is I do personal spell casting, so I work with people pretty much one-on-one to help them focus on what they want. I also take people on retreats to remote places to reconnect them with nature. I do workshops. So my big love is teaching about, you know, the gods and goddesses, the witchcraft path, those sorts of things. So that, you know, my whole thing is more about education. It's more about teaching people that this is not a, you know, terribly mysterious path. You know, it's kind of funny. When I wrote my first book, I kind of had this in my mind that I wanted to demystify, you know, how to write spells, for example, which are really, you know, it's just intention setting on steroids, really. You know, so, you know, I wanted to demystify a lot of stuff. And I've got to tell you, you know, my first book, I had people in my community saying, why are you making it easy for people? You know, why are you, you know, like, you know, you're giving away, you know, a lot of the sort of secrets of the past.
Yes.
Because, you know, yeah. And
yep.
It's like, well,
secrets. You're telling all the secrets. They didn't like it.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
And I kind of like, yeah, but yes, there are some, you know, some secrets that you don't, you know, that you are vowed to keep silent. That's fine. But I want people, modern people, to be able to access this path because it is so effective. It is so practical. You can, you know, better your health, your mental health, your career, your everyday stuff can be benefited, you know, made better, made more whole and richer by connecting in this way. So I like I said, I was an ordinary person that found this extraordinary path, and my skill set was, you know, as a writer and a journalist and those sort of things. So why wouldn't I want to bring that to people? So I guess, you know, I'm kind of known in my country for real practical magic. I'm not the one that's going to throw fairy dust on you. I'm the one that's going to try and work out how you're going to get money for your new car or something like that. It's a bit...
Exactly. It's in depth. It's deep. It's not just this, you know, like people are saying, well, I've heard this before. Well, I'm going to go see this person and they're going to make this all get better and I'm going to pay him or her a lot of money. And I sit back. I've heard this over the years now, for many, many years, and I think to myself, well, you know, I mean, I feel people should be paid for what they can do. But, I mean, they were talking lots of money, Stacy. I mean, a lot of money. And I'm holding my head thinking, oh, my God, what is wrong with you? I mean, but that's how it got all twisted. That's really how it got twisted over here in America. And your description now has probably explained to a lot of people exactly what it is and what it isn't. I mean, even like for me, like I told you about the word white. I mean, I've heard that before, but now I know that doesn't mean a thing. That's just somebody's way of putting another description in front of the word witch. Because really, they don't know any better, and that's probably what it is. They have not looked into it enough.
Yeah, and I also want to say, you know, I've been doing this for, you know, like you probably have, you know, for a long time. You know, I'm coming up to 20 years in my business, you know, and the thing that I wanted to do from day one is to be always ethical, right? Super ethical, more ethical than, you know, almost anyone else, because we already have this sort of reputation for not having ethics. I mean, I'd say a couple of times a month, exactly what you're saying, people coming to me saying, if I give you lots of money, you know, we're talking thousands of dollars here, like you're talking about, right? Thousands of dollars. I want you to curse my ex-husband, or I want this woman here, I want her to fall in love with me, right? And you know, my manager who does all my bookings and me, we have to sit back, and this poor Richard's been, you know, my manager's been doing this for 20 years almost, where he's coming up saying to people, she won't do it. no matter how much money you offer her, I'm telling
right.
you, she will not, you know, no matter if you come up to her with a bag of money, she will not do it. She will just, we can work out another way to do this where you're not interfering with anyone's free will, but she will still
That's
charge
right.
you, you know, this is how much it is. So I say to people, please understand that on people's websites or their information, they should tell you up front how much it's going to be for whatever service they're giving you. Just like, you know, just like any other service, your hairdresser, your plumber, whatever, they should tell you, give you a quote up front, this is how much it's going to be, right? And if someone is, you know, continually upping the money or saying, oh, I can fix it only if you book a next session and it's going to be this much, they're ripping you off. So please, you know, it breaks my heart. This is the bad thing about the spiritual, you know, the rise of the spiritual industry, let's put it this way, is, you know, for every really great practitioner, there's probably a couple that are there to rip people off, and it's awful.
Well, it really is awful, and I've heard of people paying for spells, and
oh, yeah.
I mean, like, say for a, we'll use an example of a man and a woman, and the woman has met the man, and she really, you know, wants him to like her and wants to spend time. Well, so long as it's not going to interfere with him in any way to harm him, I mean, obviously
yeah.
there's ways to do that, but I don't think people understand about casting a spell. I think it's like you said, it's like they figure, oh, well, now this guy's going to turn his head right around on his shoulders, and he's just going to love me to death. I don't think it works that way, because you're interrupting
no.
the energy also, and I'm
yeah.
all about energy.
Yeah.
And I don't like to hear that. And I've turned so many people away from other people. Don't do that. What's wrong with you? You shouldn't have to pay exorbitant amounts of money for anything like that. And I question the person that they're going to, and they'll say, well, they said if I pay a little bit more money, oh, I want to shake them. I just want to shake them. Run
you know,
away and hide. Run and turn the other direction.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that ever, ever. And,
yeah.
you know, like on my
You'll
one site, I have, we offer readings, and it's very, it's a good price. It's not to rip anybody off. But if you go looking around, if you look around, Stacy, you'll see where there are sites out there, and I'm just using what I do, that they don't care about the money. I mean, they only care about the money. They don't care about you. All they want you to do is pay more and more and more. And for those of you who don't come to STARS, and many of you go to other places or work for other places, that's all in good. But remember who you're working for and what you're actually doing with your practice. You know, I always feel that somebody's keeping score. And I cringe.
We talk about, you know, like one of the things from the very earliest training, you know, if you're serious about going down this path and you really want to be trained properly, it's all about building your personal ethics and self-esteem and your trust of self and all of that, so that when you come across a situation where it would be very easy to take advantage of somebody, it's not even something you think about, because you are a good, strong, ethical person that wouldn't even cross your mind. Real witches are trained, right? That restraint and being of service is very powerful. You know, like I always think true power is restraint, that you could do whatever, you know, you're a powerful person, you could, you know, do and impact people, but you don't, because you don't need to, you know. And I think that's one of the first things. And yes, witches are powerful. You know, real witches know, you know, how to curse. They know how to, you know, do quite negative things in that way if they wanted to, but they don't. That's the thing. It's like a surgeon, you know, surgeons know how to cut you, but they don't do harm, they do good, you know, like,
right.
So there's that power that you have, you can use in different ways, you know, good ways or unethical ways. And I think, you know, we also have a kind of an overreaching law that is this sort of, if whatever you give out three comes back. Okay. So, if you're out there, you know, like me, working with a lot of people and educating and books and all of that, if I'm out there trying to take advantage of someone, we sort of say, you know, you point the finger, three comes back, right? So I want a good life, you know, I want a great life, Nelly. I don't want, you know, bad juju coming back at me three times. So, you know, I can tell you there are people, and I'm sure you've met them, that take advantage of people who are in pain and, you know, they're having a tough time in their lives and so they're vulnerable. Well, you know what? You take advantage of those people. I tell you what, your life ain't going to be any, you know, it's not going to be good for you.
Well,
I see them go.
Like what goes around comes around, or be careful what you do. And yes, there are people out there. So those listening that might be paying somebody or thinking about paying somebody, you know, it should be within reason. I would suggest either going to your site, which I have up right now, somebody who's reputable, or even ask Natalie, me, where to go. I would send you to Stacy, because I'm talking to you and I'm hearing your voice and your energy, and there is nothing in any of that that is not real. You are the real deal, and you're not out to hurt anyone, and that neither am I. I'm very spiritual, and when I got your name and all the information, your publicist, Sarah, I said, well, now you got to tell me a little bit about her. And she told me, I said, perfect. I love her already. And that's the thing, you know, I have to be careful who I bring on. And I had no hesitation with you because I knew right away from within what you were about. And I want to talk a little bit, too, about, I have this question here, and I had it written down here. We're a day away from Halloween, right? Can you tell the audience about this moment on the Wheel of the Year? Now, the Wheel of the Year she has in her 2018 lunar and seasonal diary, isn't it? I mean, it's in there also, I would imagine.
Yeah, of course. Yes, we've been doing this for 10 years now.
I only have this one. And tell the audience what is it about that? What is the Just explain it. What is the wheel of the year?
Okay. All right. So the Wheel of the Year is really wonderful. So, you know, all our European ancestors, they broke the seasons down, the weather, heat and cold and dark and light. They didn't just break it down into spring and winter and fall. You know, that whole thing, you know, by date, that's not what they did. They broke the year down into when the land was either fallow, you know, or it was fertile. We're coming into the warmth, or we're coming into the shortest day or the longest day.
Right.
So those sort of things is how they broke it down, right? So Samhain, which is Halloween, the original word for it is Samhain. Samhain just sort of meant summer's end or winter's beginning. And this was the time when, you know, if you think about it, we were all farmers or hunters. You know, we couldn't just go down the shop and buy our food, or couldn't go to a restaurant or go to the drugstore to get our medicine. We had to, you know, rely on the land completely. And so these people would go, all right, well, Halloween signals winter's coming. It signals the time of death, when everything begins to go back, right, die off. So, you know, if you're from a part of the United States that gets snow, for example, that has like 3 months or 4 months of snow, you understand what, you know, these people were going through. Like, they couldn't farm during those times. They had to make sure that they saved up their food. They had produce hanging up and drying out and in jars and, you know, all that sort of stuff to get them through the time of death. So Halloween was a festival of the death. And a lot of people died during those seasons. You know, the old people were more likely to die. So you would honor your ancestors during that time. And this idea of trick-or-treating, well, that came a little later. That was sort of a celebration of, you know, the spirits walking around. So if you dress a little bit like a past spirit, a little naughty spirit, well, they're more likely to recognize you as another spirit and not bother you. And, you know, you were kind of going to be safe from the fairies and safe from the bad spirits. So if you dressed up as one, right? So it's actually a fun festival, but also one that is about loving those who have passed still, keeping their memory alive. So, you know, for example, Halloween, where I am, sure, you know, there'll be kids trick-or-treating and all that. And, you know, they love the idea that there's a real witch in my street. So everybody knows. And it is the one night of the year that I will put on the pointy hat. So, you know, everyone, you know, gets a real live witch. But they come around and that's all great. But later I'll have a feast where I'll leave a spot at the table for those who have passed. And they get fed beautiful food, just like we're serving everyone else, and fine wine, and they're the guest in the house, right? And then we all talk about someone who has passed this year or someone we want to remember. And we have the jack-o'-lanterns and that's to scare away the naughty spirits, the ones we don't want in the house. But we also have lovely orange candles for those who are our ancestors or those who loved us, and we welcome them in. But for people like you guys who like to, you know, who are psychic or they do readings, this night is one of the two nights of the year that the veil is very thin.
Right. I was
so
going to ask, the veil is thin. Yes,
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, the veil is very thin. Yes. Yeah, so
very thin,
make
people.
Sure
very thin.
Very thin. So make sure that you do your divination. You get out your oracle decks. You do your, any kind of crystal ball work, you know, any kind of oracle
right.
psychic work is very wonderful for tonight. But do make sure that you do, that you make sure you do your shielding and your grounding, because, you know, there are some naughty spirits around. So we want to make
right.
sure that we don't really attract them.
Well, you know, they can see it just in the movies, although the movies, you know, grandstand everything, but there's a few that I feel that have been done really well. And I always pay attention, because they just really kind of make it just so grandeur and kind of like it probably isn't. I wish somebody would do one where it would be more real. Like have somebody like you kind of giving your input. No, it's not done like that. But, you know, when they see movies now and they see anything like Insidious is one. I mean, I love her, the lady
yeah.
who does it. She channels people that have passed on. I mean, she does, she does a great job. But this last one's kind of a little bit off the end. But the first two were very, very good. I like those kind of movies, but you know, I understand enough that what is, well, now really, come on, that really cannot happen. I mean, you know, some of it, but I love to be entertained like that, but in the right way. And I think most people are like that, but just your description now of things has probably set the record straight as far as my listeners is concerned, because I'm sure a lot of them are thinking, oh, God, she's going to cast a spell on the air. No, she's not going to do that. She's here just to talk about herself. And I would never ask that of her. I would never impose. And just to talk about herself and what she's doing. And now I have in front of me, and you can tell the listeners about this. Mm. I have the Queen of the Moon Oracle that was sent to me. It uses the lunar and seasonal energies, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
It's
well, let me tell everybody about this.
Too.
Yeah. Oh, no. I will tell them that. The deck on one side is the phases of the moon. Okay.
Yep.
And on the other side is pictures. Like one here is fear. Okay. Well, what do you think of when you think of fear? Oh, bats and scary things and anything that's going to make you feel afraid. These cards are so inviting. Oh, this will. I love this one of the will. Oh, gosh.
That's one of my favorites.
So
I'm so glad you said that. I'm so glad you said that. The will card is one of my favorites as well. So, yeah, thank you.
Susie, you've got one called Focus, and it's a lady. She's got her head above the water, and she's got this beautiful butterfly on her forehead. I'm telling everybody, these cards, and usually when I read cards, but I read just regular cards. But usually when you read cards, they always tell you, look at the picture. The picture is going to tell you what's happening for that person that you're reading for. And if you learn it well enough, like I know my deck and you know yours, well enough, you're going to be able to tell a story. And that's exactly what you end up doing. And people have this thing in their head about, I mean, I can do real good with timing with my cards, period. I'm really good with that. Mm. However, you know, we all talk about timing, and timing is really tough to do. I mean, even when you do your work, somebody will expect something. Oh, well, I want this in a week. Well, hello, it might not happen in a week. But these cards, yes, the will has to be one of my favorites. It is a lady. She's got a mask like you would see at a Mardi Gras over her eyes. She has a phase of the moon. She has all the other moons hanging down for her. This beautiful turquoise-ish, greenish, and she's got this huge, it's a dress, a huge collar, like you would see on a clown, only it's kind of white. It is white. And she's got the moon behind her. And it's just beautiful. Now, I have to ask you about these cards. Did you come up with the pictures? Or did some, you did. Okay, so when you were sitting,
So when I do decks, I always work with an artist an artist that you're able to, you know, that is quite a spiritual person themselves and is able to, you work together, right? So you come up with this is how my process anyway. I come up with the cards that I want and kind of the feeling or the message. And then you work with the illustrator to sort of express that. This artist is amazing. Her name is Kinga Brashingi, and she is so intuitive. I mean, like we would go back and forth with a couple of cards, but that's a 44 card deck or whatever. Like I hardly had to, you know, talk to her about anything. I think the cover, we changed the color of her dress because I really wanted the cover dress to be like white or silver. And I think she originally did it in purple. And I think that was the major change out of the whole deck. Right. But these are all original illustrations that have been specifically done for this deck.
They're beautiful cards. I mean, and I can randomly pick one. I'm telling everybody, I can pick one. And just look at the picture, not what the word says on it, and you just know what it means. I mean, anybody truly could read from this deck if they truly wanted to. It's the pictures that are going to do it for you, and I'm quite amazed by it. But I really love the will. You know why I love it is because, first of all, I love that color of her dress. And it looks like it's a sparkly dress. And I love things that sparkle. Not because they're expensive, but like a diamond. I love diamonds because they sparkle. I've always loved sparkle, anything that sparkles since I was a little girl for some reason. And that's why I like this card. And the difference, it's not really a pure white. It's like it's not really an off-white. But it's kind of like, a pure white would be stark white. This is not like that. It's got a beautiful cast to it, but it was the color. The colors attract me to the card right away. And then, so I'm telling everybody about this deck. I'm selling this deck for you is what I'm doing. But it really is. And like there's another one called release. Now, what would you think would be with release, people? Tell me. You're releasing. You're letting go of something, right? Okay, well, number 27 is released, and she's this beautiful lady looking at the moon with these gold butterflies in front of her. She's throwing her head back like, almost like saying, okay, I give up. I'm giving it all to you. I'm giving it to you to do. It's like, and you'll hear that. People will say, give it to God. Give it. Just I can't do this anymore. I mean, the pictures are so descriptive of what the card is. Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't even have to read the words, Stacey, at all. I mean, just look at the cards. They're just magnificent.
They really are.
You did a fantastic job with this. And, again, it's called the Queen of the Moon Oracle, and I'm sure they can be purchased anywhere. They can be purchased on your site, correct?
Yes, exactly. Or Amazon or your local store that, you know, would stock
this sort of thing.
I'm looking
at your site right now just to make sure that everything is there that we need. Oh, yes, it's all there. Books, products, e-store, bookings if you want to book a reading with her. Now, tell me, how do you do your readings? I saw you had different styles. I'm just for the listeners out there, because actually, they should call in if they have simple questions, not reading questions, but questions. I mean, about, well, how do I go about doing this? I mean, I'm going to answer it for them, but they can always call in at 425. No, excuse me, that's not it. Call in at 347-838-9736. You can call in. I answer. And if you have a question for Stacy in general, like, you know, how do I do this, or what do I do? Where do I go about learning how to do what I want to do? But tell us about your services that you offer on your site, because I see here you have quite a few. This is exciting for me. You're like in my arena, but you're really not. You know what I'm saying? And I was so happy to read about, because I read everything about you, because I usually do that. And you've got so much here to offer. And you tell the difference between sessions and readings. Now, what's the difference between a session and a reading?
Yeah, so I think what I do is a little bit different. So, you know, people have got to get their head around it. So I make sure I have everything very crystal clear so that people can make a good decision on what kind of session they want. Sometimes people just want an oracle reading, which is, you know, and as someone who creates oracles, people often, you know, love the idea of having an oracle reading by someone who creates the deck that they're reading on. This is oracular work is like psychic work. So you're asking questions about the past, present, and future. You know, I'm looking at the cards and interpreting those. And also it's very intuitive. It's sort of, you know, like a psychic reading, I suppose, but we're using the medium of the cards, right? So that's one session. Then the other thing that I specialize in is, of course, spell casting. So that's a little bit of a longer session, and people sort of tell you, you know, whatever their problem is, what they want to release, what, you know, they want to get. We get very, very clear. So I ask lots of questions. It's a little bit like counseling sometimes, where, you know, we're trying to get clear about what someone really wants, or you know, they might have some sort of trauma that they want to get rid of, or a bad experience in the past. You know, it's not just, you know, the fun stuff like, you know, I want to find a boyfriend. It, you know, sometimes it's a lot more, you know, deeper work than that. And then I will work with the person in creating an individual spell for them to do. And, you know, they'll write it down at the time. We'll work together on that. I will send them, as part of the session, any kind of special magical ingredients they need, like, you know, herbs or incense to burn, or a talisman, or whatever, you know, we decided they need. And then they go, often they cast their spell themselves, right? So these people that say, oh, I'll cast a spell for you, give me a couple of $100 and I'll cast for you, and there you go. I don't believe in that, right? I guess I was educated the old-fashioned way, in the sense that there must be someone's energy, some of their own direct energy into the spell, which is why the person that I work with is doing the casting. So you don't need to have any experience at all. I've never had anyone who's turned around to me in 20 years and said, Stacey, I can't do that spell you told me. I don't understand. I make sure that it is tailored to that person's experience level and where they're at and where they live and, you know, what they enjoy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, and then they will, you know, there'll be, you know, I'll give them a special email address, and we'll go backward and forward just to make sure that they're getting what they need from that spell. And so it's very personalized. You know, this is something, you know, that I guess not many people offer, because, you know, it's time consuming and it's real authentic work, but that's the sort of thing I offer. And then the last thing I do is more group work, where there is, for example, I'm running a program at the moment called the 12 Goddesses, and it's a whole year of mentorship, where we look at the mentorship of one goddess every month, and we're on Skype, so you can do that from all over the world. I've got lovely American people and English people and Australians all on this one call. And it's live, and everyone talks about their experiences, and, you know, I give them a new goddess every month to work with, and then, you know, they follow it up with mentorship with me. So, you know, they're all, you know, throughout the year, They're improving their lives. They're getting, you know, finding the things they want to get rid of. And that sort of deeper work is sort of where I'm at. You know, I've never wanted to be this, you know, my books are the mass sort of thing I do, but the readings and the spell casting and the mentorships, that is where my heart is, you know, because you're impacting people and their lives are changing. So it's wonderful.
You know what I like about what you do is you allow the person to do it, because after all, it seems like it would be a stronger thing to do. Like for, we'll use Nia as an example, okay? You could say, well, I've written this. This is what you have to do. This is what you need to have. And it would be better, Natalie, if you did it, because it's coming from you. You're the one who's really looking for this, not me. I'm removed from it. All I can do is set it up for you, but I don't want to do it myself. So, Natalie, you're going to do it. You need to do it. So any of those are out there, again, listening, you need to pay attention. You know, somebody that says they'll do it for you, the energy is, I mean, even I know that, the energy is not going to be the same. The feeling is not going to be the same. Something that I could say it's about a job, or something like that. You know, I really want to get a job, or whatever it is. They'll explain it to you, and then you'll tell them what to do. But again, see, it's their own. It's like their own will. They're in charge.
Yes.
You're just creating this document.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing, because it's coming from them. So people that are listening out there, don't pay money to people that are going to do it for you. Because, and even I know that, and I'm not into this, but even I know that, being spiritual, that it's not going to work. They're putting in their mix of energy into what you want. How could it be the best for you if they're doing it? It can't be. You have to do it. I mean, that just makes all good sense. So right away, see how ethical you are? Stacey, you're just top drawer to me.
Yeah.
Top drawer, and you're open, and you explain everything. Now, what is the cutting of the cords? I've heard of that before. I see that here. I'm looking on your site. That's why I'm asking you these questions. I've heard that before. Somebody that I interviewed for my site, she said to me, well, you know, if there's somebody that you are attached to that isn't really, and I don't know if this is true, is not reciprocating, we can use this as a love interest. Because I asked her, I said, tell me what you do and how and what it's for. She says, if it's like, and it's not, it's very negative, it's harming you, it's not keeping you on your right path, it's causing you to go cuckoo, you know, you're out of sorts, you're running around crazy, she said, we can cut the cord. Now, that's what she said. I didn't have it done, but she explained it to me. She said, now, I also offer that. Well, we didn't go into that because my site is online, so we don't do, you know, one-on-one, personal, face-to-face kind of stuff. So the cutting of the cord, does it work in situations like that? What do you use the cutting of the cord for?
Yeah, so it, you know, what you're talking about is pretty much, you know, on the right track. But it's super ancient. It's a really, really old. I mean, the Egyptians used to cut the cords, the Romans, the Greeks, you know, all of these, you know, cultures, these ancient cultures had a way. They may not necessarily call it that, but it's the cutting of the cords. And it's kind of a highly meditative, very powerful sort of process where it's really good for people that, like you're saying, that need to sever the relationship that exists with somebody. And it doesn't have to be an ex-lover or a lover. It can be, you know, a parent, you know, someone who's treated you badly, someone who's affected
right.
you in a negative way. And when it's sort of irreversible. So you have to be very, very sure. I mean, when I go through this, I'm always like, I ask people like 3 or 4 times in the session, so before we get into this, are you certain that you want me to cut the cords with this person? Because what it means, it doesn't mean that they're never going to see you again, or, you know, sometimes it means that, but, you know, if it's, say, a parent that you've had a, you know, really traumatic experience with, or they haven't treated you particularly well, it just means they got that relationship as it is going to change. Okay, so that the way it is never going to come back. Okay, so traumas, even people cut the cords with smoking. They cut the cords with bad habits.
Well, that makes a lot of sense right there.
Oh, my God. I have a lot of really positive, feedback with people who are breaking habits, bad habits, or eating badly, or even drug addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Cutting the cords is a very powerful way to help with that.
Yeah, the first person that I've seen, this lady did it. This was many years ago. She told me about it, and I've never heard it again until I went on your site and I saw it. So I kind of had an idea what it was about. So it doesn't mean this person is not going to see you again ever. It doesn't mean that something's going to happen to them. It means the effect that they had on you will not be the same, or they won't have an effect on you, right? Yeah,
they won't. That's the joy of it, right? So all that trauma, all that grudges, or all that hurt and all that, it's never going to be the same. I've had people walk out of sessions going, oh, my God, this is the best I've felt in such a long time because I don't have that burden. You know, like I believe we're here to climb mountains, not carry them. So I really, really believe that. And as a mountain climber, I really believe that. So it's kind of, what is going to free you? What is going to enable you to feel lighter and better and stronger so you can get on with the things you really want to get on with?
And sometimes it's holding you back. Somebody could be holding you back. I always like to believe, and I have people that are around, I call them my champions because they're always, oh, Natalie, you can do this. You can do anything, obviously. You know, those are the people that kind of keep you built up and in spirit and everything else. But I always like to feel that there's always going to be somebody that's going to come around you somehow that you wish you had never met them. They're just not good people. No matter, you give them a chance and all that, but really you should be in tune to them like I am. I know right away what they're about because, you know, I've had this site. This site's only 7 years old, but I had another site, and I still have it. It's just the hub of all my sites since 1998. So I know people really well, and I'm really good at what I do. And I know, even in email, Stacy, it's so funny. I mean, they'll say, well, that wasn't me. Oh, really, it wasn't you? And then I'll go looking, and I get all my documentation, because I already know. You're lying. You're lying. Don't lie to me. This is Natalie. You don't lie to me. But it's true. I think a lot of people probably need to have the cord cut. But they have to, also, like you said, also understand that it is a serious business. But in a way, it's kind of a relief because if somebody's causing you problems, they're not going to do that anymore because they won't be in your realm anymore. It doesn't mean you won't encounter them, but they're not going to have that effect on you. So, see, it's an effect kind of thing, and people need to realize that. Yeah. Now you also do oracle readings. Those are with your cards, correct?
Yeah. Yep, that's right. So that's more like the psychic, you know, part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
and just going,
like
just
to
going
that.
Back. Yeah, and just quickly, something you just said about people's realms, right? You need to be queen or king of your realm, okay? And that doesn't mean you're the boss of everyone, right? A king. You know, you're in charge of your realm. You're in charge of what happens there, who you invite in, you know, what you do, what the rules are, how people treat you. You teach people how to treat you, right? So, you know, in my groups, I call all the girls queens, right? Because I want them to be the rulers of their own realm, you know? I want them to
create
feel
empowered.
A wonderful peace.
You want them to feel empowered.
This is it.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, and sometimes I even, you know, like for the girls that find that hard, it's like, I want you to imagine next time someone is talking to you, you know, treating you badly, I want you just to imagine that you are the Queen of England, you know, Elizabeth, you know, and whether you like queens or not makes no difference, but I want you to imagine that powerful woman who's been queen for what, you know, 60 years or 70 years or something. I want you to think about what would she do in that situation? Most likely, she would just smile that beautiful queenly smile and just sort of think, who the hell are you to talk to me like that and walk away?
Right.
You know, like,
you know what I also say, Stacey? I'll say it's my show, my rules.
Exactly.
I always do that. Not meaning my radio show, but my, it's, you know, my site. It's my show,
it's your
rules.
Show. Yeah. Yes,
it is.
And you know,
so,
what, for me,
but I have a friend that's mentored me since 1998, and she calls me my inner child. You know what that is? I'm a princess. And she said, there was that princess coming out again. And I said, well, and I find myself kind of sitting up straighter in my chair. She called me today. And she says, well, how's the princess today? And I said, I beg your pardon. And we laugh about it. She says, well, you know, you really are inside. And you, every once in a while, it comes out like, I'm the princess, you know. But she says, what's so nice, and she's sweet to me. She said, what's so nice about you is that you don't expect anybody to bow to you. You don't expect them to kiss your ring. You just want them to enjoy life, be happy at what they're doing. You've provided a platform, and my readers are probably listening right now. You've provided a platform for them, and you want them to be happy. That's all I care about. So I think of myself, I like to think of myself as a princess because I'm not stately. I'm not a stately kind of woman, but that's it. It's my show, my rules. You have to remember that, Stacey.
I love that.
Natalie says, my show, my rules. And it's true. I mean, I say it to anybody. I don't care who they are.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really a cute saying. And I even say it to my webmaster. I mean, he knows nothing about what I do. He knows what he does, and I'll say, oh, remember, my show, my rules. And he laughs. He says, oh, my God, I'm going to fall off my chair. And I said, well, don't do that because I need you to do more work for me. but it's true. Teaching people how to do that, Stacey, too, and it empowers you. But it sometimes now they have to understand, though, it's not going to be like that every moment of every day. People, you're going to slip. Somebody's going to hurt your feelings. It happens to me. It can happen to anybody. And you have to step back and don't let them rain on your parade. I said that once to one of my publicists. I sent it to her. She says, who's raining on your parade? I'm going to go get them. I said, no. No. It just meant that they tried to change my beliefs, which are so strong. And you don't do that with Natalie at all. I mean, I believe. That's it. I believe. So, that. And you do a coffee oracle reading too. Now, what is that?
Yeah, I do. Oh, that's so much fun. Most people have heard about tea readings, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, people know about the little tea in the bottom of the cup. But what is actually more ancient than tea reading, but we just don't think about it because it's in Africa and it's in the Middle East and those sort of countries, is coffee reading. So you can actually read the grinds of your coffee. You can read the crema, the sort of lovely golden, you know, cover that's on black coffee. You can read the cappuccino foam even, right? So it's just like reading tea leaves, but you're reading coffee. And that is such a fun thing to do. So with groups and things like that, it's a I probably teach coffee reading once a year, you know, and we go to in Australia, we have a very strong coffee culture. You know, we are kind of fanatics about good coffee. So I go to my, you know, one of my best local cafes, and the baristas are great fun, and they run the coffee day for everybody, and it's great fun. I mean, we're all very caffeined up by the end of the day, so we're all speaking like a million miles an hour, but it's great
fun. Of course. You know, I have a friend. I actually worked for her. That's what got me started in my business. She would read wax drippings. I'm telling you, but you know what, Stacey? There was an evil side to her. I could feel it with her. And she didn't look it, but there was something about her. Mm. I did work for her, and that's how I kind of got my feet wet into what I do. She read regular cards, and she read the cards for me, and I really watched her. I'd like to do that, you know? Well, I could never find her deck because it was given to her by her grandmother. I even called U.S. Games, and I know them very well there. The owner, I forget what his, he went looking into the archives. He couldn't find them. He said probably what happened is the cover was changed. And he said, "Well, I still have one of the decks." I had them going crazy looking for this deck. I mean, I would have paid $100 for it. It wouldn't have mattered because I wanted her deck. But we did a party at my house, and she dripped the candle. But she was really good at it. I mean, people came out and said, wow, how does she do that? But there was a part of her that I didn't trust. That's when I first met her, and I worked for her for a while, and she took advantage of me, really, for doing all the work that I did for her. And finally, we parted ways. Something came over me, and I thought, no, this is enough. But you see, I had this feeling about her all along. But I learned a lot from her, though, don't forget. I watched when she read cards, see. And I saw, and she told me when she first did the deck, it was just playing cards. She wrote on all the sides in pen what the card meant. Well, I devised my own method. A lot of the numbers that I use, it came from her, and it came from her aunt, who taught her. But sometimes you can feel that sense from somebody. I don't get anything like that from you at all. This lady was like, you wanted to stay away from her, but she was the queen. Talk about being a queen. She thought she was the queen of everything. But not the queen of me. No, she couldn't.
She tried to
go up against me, and she really couldn't, Stacey. Even though I wasn't like I am now. I'm very strong. My energy is really strong. Then it was kind of like I would step back. Okay, let me see what you're going to do. But she knew. I'm not going to get around Natalie. I'm not going to fool her. I'm not going to convince her to do something that she doesn't want to do because she's not going to do it. And that was true. But I did learn an awful lot from her. So sometimes if people that are listening, if you run into somebody, like if they have the chance to get a reading from you, even in person over in Australia, they have to feel the energy and know that you have their best interests at heart. And for you, that's, I mean, that's total for you. That's exactly what you do. You are not out to do any harm to anyone. And you have great energy. You really do. And people are, I'm going to have this lady, she's going to say to me, oh, Natalie, you really did good on this one. On this interview, she listens to, she's one of my, I call her one of my champions. She says, Natalie, you can do anything. You can create anything. You can figure it out. I have three monitors here at home. And I run rings around most people because I love what I do, just like you. When you love what you do, and this is kind of giving direction to people out there. Get that passion. Yeah. Find what you love to do. And then pretty soon, it's not work. It's like, okay, I can do this. Now, right now, today and tomorrow, I'm going to be putting out my magazine. I do have some articles from you that I got from Sarah. And so I'm going to be putting that in, and I'll send her the links so she can send it to you so you can see. But I'll be up late tonight, and after candy, giving out candy at for my granddaughter, I'll come home, and I'll stay up until the magazine is done because that's what I do because it's my passion, and I love it. I mean, I'll just sit here, and I glow. Like your article, I started to put yours in already, and then I stopped because I thought I better have a little rest here. I sit up straight in my chair like, oh, God, I love doing this. I could probably do it all day, but it takes a few days to do it. But I have your article, you know, of course, and we don't have to be off the air yet, even though it's like 8:58. I want to talk about this 2019 lunar and seasonal diary. I'm assuming you had one for 2018, correct, which people don't need right now because we're at the end of the year. Now, where can they get this? Yes. Can they get this on your site?
Yes, you can. You can get it in Amazon. Like, you know, it's probably easier and quicker. I mean, I'd love you to come to my site and look, of course, but it's going to be quicker for you to get it.
I'll tell them the site too before we go.
Obviously. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, Amazon, your local bookstore, they're pretty much everywhere. Barnes & Noble is your big chain. They have them. They have the Queen of the Moon as well, I understand, Barnes & Noble. So, you know, this is, look, I just wanted something that was like a magical companion, or make it really easy for people day by day, week by week, to be able to plug in to these amazing cycles that we have as human beings to take advantage of. You know, we shouldn't be so disconnected to nature. We have this incredible lunar and seasonal cycles to take advantage of. So you don't have to be a witch or a pagan to plug into that and to enjoy it. And, you know, this diary gives you a really easy transformational journey to take And you don't even have to try. You just have to follow it.
Oh, I noticed what she sent me, though. She sent me the Northern Hemisphere. Is that correct for me?
Yep.
I'm on the East Coast,
yeah,
Southern East Coast. So that's good, right?
You are Northern, but you're still in the Northern Hemisphere. Where I am right down under the other end of the planet, we are the Southern Hemisphere. Yep.
Okay, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yes.
If I look at the countries and where they're located, everything is on your site. Let me see. You've got a lot of stuff on here. You've got your books. You have gift packs. What are those? I'm going to ask you all these questions because people are going to say.
Coming up for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Coming up for Christmas. So there's, you know, I've packaged some because I've got more than one deck, obviously, more than one Oracle deck. I've got Halloween decks. I've got decks based on the Norse and the gods and goddesses and all kinds of things, talismans. You know, one of the things that people love getting from me are protective talismans and you know, beautiful silver evil eyes and things like that we've charged up over many moon cycles. They're all there ready, waiting for people. So, like, if I have to say, you know, what's my number one, you know, thing that people buy from me? Obviously, the diary, everyone loves that. But the second thing is all of the talismans. So people,
it's a spiral, but it's heavy. I mean, it's done very, very well. It's got all the days. It tells all about the moons. It's just packed full. If you start at the beginning, you go into how to use this diary. I mean, and I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, whoa, look at all this stuff. I bought this silly little whatever it was at Target. I can use this now starting in January for all my things that are coming up and feel like it's personal for me. Plus because it was done by you and because Sarah sent it to me and she surprised me. She didn't even, she says, oh, maybe I'll send you some goodies. I said, Sarah, and I tell all of them that you don't have to send me anything. I do this because I love doing it. And she says, well, it's kind of nice to get a gift, isn't it? And I said, yeah. And she says, and you're not going to send it back, are you? I said, no. She says, okay, then be quiet and accept the gift. So I had this big pack because she sent me other stuff too. And, sometimes I'm able to get stuff like that, but this, I'm going to treasure this. This lunar and seasonal diary is just amazing. Now, I want to tell everybody your site. It's, of course, www.modernwitch.com. Go to it, look through it, just click on every little thing that you can and see what she's got there. There's a way for contact and all of that. And there's just all kinds of stuff here that you can look at, talk about the workshops and bookings, and you have a blog also, right? What is this Nature Luster?
I have to
look into all this. Oh, my.
Oh, yeah. So Nature Luster, because I'm, as I said, I'm an outdoors person, and you know, as it's very important to me to reconnect people to nature. And you don't have to be spiritual about it because, you know, we've got a planet that is in trouble at the moment. And I think that the more people learn to fall in love with nature again, the more we are connected with that, and the better we're all going to be. So Nature Luster.
How do you feel about like the animals that we have? I have this cat. He's big.
Yeah.
And he's a Maine Coon. But I'll tell you, Stacy, he knows my feelings. Oh, Mom's upset. Oh, I can tell, and he comes running over to me. I mean, it's like having a little person. It really is. Only a very sensitive, he's very sensitive to me. But he's the kind of cat like you would think that you would see a big cat in Africa. He's kind of like the boss. He used to hiss at my son, but he doesn't do that anymore. But my son couldn't figure it out. He said, why do you think he does that? I said, well, first of all, you're stepping into his house. Remember, the key word here is his. And I said, and I'm his mom, and he doesn't want you to forget it. So we laugh every time. You know, it's kind of like he says, don't take your shoes off. Don't get too comfy because you're not staying. This is my house. This is my mom. And that's how he acts. And then after anybody leaves, oh, my gosh, he's all over. He's rubbing my face. He's, you know, he doesn't like me to talk on the phone and walk around because he kind of gives me these love bites. I mean, he doesn't bite me, he'll grab me like, how dare you talk on the phone when I'm here, where I want your attention. He speaks to me. He's amazing. Yeah. So do you feel, I mean, that's not unusual for a cat or even a dog to be like that. Even birds can be very sensitive to their owners. You know,
I'm very biased about this sort of thing because, I mean, I've grown up with all sorts of animals from the very beginning, right? So, you know, my mother and father, I was very lucky to have parents that I think one of the earliest photos I have, I'm actually toddling towards a dog, right? So, you know, nothing much has changed. You know, I'm always walking towards a dog or a cat. But you know, we have to think about, you know, like right now I have my feet upon I've got big dogs. I've got a Ridgeback and a Great Dane. So amongst two cats. But you know, I've got my feet sitting on, you know, one of them right now, cause that's how close he likes to be. Right. So I feel very sad if people cannot have a relationship with an animal because it's an incredibly privileged thing that we can have an interspecies sort of communication and relationship with an animal. But generally, we need to be looking at habitat. We need to be looking at the reciprocity, the giving and taking between ourselves and other living beings, including the living beings that we can't actually see, the bacteria, the soil, the sky, you know, all those things that are alive. You know, as a pagan, I guess I see that everything is connected and everything is worthy. You know, I guess with Nature Luster, I want to get people out there, and like I take people on retreat to really remote places so that they don't have to listen to cars. They can just listen to the voice of nature, and it changes people. It changes people totally, completely.
That's why I want to go to Africa, because I know I have a calling to go there, and there's just something about it. But, you know, there was a Great Dane that a lady brought into this place that I worked, well, it was my place, mine and my son's, a Great Dane. That dog would sit behind the desk with me, and of course she was they're so big, they're mammoths.
They're so big.
And she would say to me, now, nobody's going to bother you behind that desk, you know. She said, because they don't really know his name was Shane, they don't really know what he's going to do. But when I would go down the hall, that dog would lean up against me, so I would be up against the wall to protect me. So when people walked by, nobody could come near me. And she said to me, you know, she said, I think it's because you're small and he's so big. But she said, I think that's it. But she said, I don't know that that's it, because I've had him around small people before, but he just has this attraction to you, a protective. I mean, I loved having him there. I watched him, you know, while she was doing the things that she had to do, and it was great. But he would lean up against me, I mean, hard, so that I'd have to squeeze away from him. But it was a nice feeling. I don't know. I guess Danes are prone to that.
Yeah, Danes tend to lean on you. They're very gentle. I mean, I have a lovely, gentle girl, and she leans up against people and me. So they're very protective. They're not like barkers, or they're not kind of savage or anything like that. They just have that big presence.
It's their presence.
Feel very secure, which is lovely. Yeah.
So I'd be behind the desk and I'd watch him for like a half hour. He'd be back there with me. And if I got up and walked down the hall, he got up and walked down the hall. I mean, it was hilarious. He did this from day one. And she laughed. She said, I cannot believe what I'm seeing. And I said, well, I really like it. And she said, he knows you like it. He knows you love that. He knows you need that. That's why he's doing it. And it was true. It was just true. I felt, I just felt so good with that dog. And people would look over and I'd say, oh, yeah, that's Shane. Oh, my God, he's so huge. And there's different, is it called a brindle?
Yes.
He was a brindle. And he was magnificent.
Beautiful.
And but anyways, that's my great experience with the Dane. And I have loved our talk so much tonight, Stacy. And I'm sure I'm going to be hearing from everybody about the show, because we've gone over, but that's okay. We always set it for an hour and a half, because they will cut me off right at 9 o'clock if I don't go over it. I mean, it's like, you're done. Goodbye. They don't let you say anything. But I have enjoyed it so much, and maybe we can have you back again next year sometime. So your latest thing that's coming out is your diary, correct? You have another book coming out?
No, I have the obviously Queen in the Moon, and about mid-year I have another book coming out, but I can't tell you about that until it's released. So
that's why you'll come back mid-year, so you can tell us about it.
Good.
That'll
fantastic.
Be good.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Oh yes, and I'll send Sarah the link to your article so you can see it. She'll send it to you. And everybody, you know, there's still time to get your articles in, your excerpts, your poems. I mean, I have a big job ahead of me, but everybody knows I love to do it. And I insert the pictures and all that kind of good stuff and the links and make sure everything works. And don't forget about my star site. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com, where you can go there. I have beautiful people that are there. It's a very stable group. They don't come and go. Some have been with me for 7 years. Some have been with me since 1999, and that's the truth. And she's from Australia, as a matter of fact. Her name is Sedona, and she's been with me all those years. She said to me, she says, well, I moved the site, I changed it. And she said, well, I'm coming. Are you going to have me? And I said, well, you must be joking, of course. So I have, I don't know, 50-some, and I could have a lot more, but I just keep it like this because I want everybody to be happy and do their readings in their jammies and have their coffee and whatever. They're just sitting there at their computer, and it's all kind of cool and a nice little world that I've helped to create for everybody. So with that, I'm going to say goodnight, and I always end my show, Stacy, with this. Believe in things you cannot see because they really are there. And with that, I'll say goodnight, and I'll see you next week. Actually, I'm going to see you, everybody, on Saturday. I have a gentleman who's a director from out in California. I've got him coming in, and then the following week, of course, we'll be back on Wednesday. So this week it's two interviews, but just go to the site, and you'll see when the interviews are. And so nice talking to you. I hate to hang up with you, Stacy.
Oh, look, I've really enjoyed myself, and thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, you're most welcome. Okay, everybody, have a great evening. We'll see you on Saturday for the next interview that Natalie will have. And don't forget, believe in things you cannot see because they really do exist. Good night.